Could we have a five-part harmony about the 90s as we travel toward 2010? Music makes the mood to move over life's mountains. Music takes the mad and mellows it into water fountains. To 15 people, please write some music to quiet the neighborly rampage. Could just one play some saxophone to tone down bloody hatred? Life's jagged road with? Could we have some jamming sounds to move on down life's jumble road with? Say some jamming sounds.
Very own Charlotte Sister C. Farrell. The musical version of that, produced by Mark Cargill, Greg Cook, Hilliard Wilson, and Matilda Haywood, featuring musicians Greg Cook, Mark Cargill, Hilliard Wilson, Matilda Haywood, Bobby Bryant Jr., Gabriel Bibbs, and vocalists Hilliard Wilson, April Colin Haywood, and Matilda Haywood.
All right, now that you have moved down the road a bit, a way of believing that. Would you say yes to writing a poem from yourself, and it flows out and touches musicians and other people's heart, they just run on down the road with it. We're going to interject here. Our queen sister Adele has got something she's going to share in her poetry.
All right. So I don't have a title at this time, but I wrote this in a moment where I was feeling very... I had a therapy session like 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to my therapist, and I was upset. I was like, what unhealed version of myself keeps allowing me to just keep doing the same thing over and over again? And she says, have you asked your inner child? And I stopped for a second, and I said, oof. So I wrote this poem. Isn't it strange how we destroy ourselves? The grace we so freely grant to others who've hurt us. We recreate the heartache, retrace the wounds, as if holding the reins of pain might make it hurt less. Loving oneself seems so simple, a logical act. But the little masochist within knows only the comfort of suffering. The child who once dreamed of safety grew into an adult fluent in the language of hurt. Her voice an echo of old scars. One day, she'll choose a different love. The kind that sees her, values her, and lets her bloom. When I ask, what unhealed version of me invites this? I see her, the child I once was. Wide-eyed, searching, shocked. I was too harsh. I lost her in the storm. Dressed my wounds in fine garments, trading faces, the act of strength masking her. I offer this apology. I offer this child this apology. I'm sorry.
Beautiful. Wow. I could picture that child, and I could picture you talking to the inner child. How did you feel after completing it?
I felt compassion to myself for the first time, I think. I think I'm a bit of a perfectionist and an overachiever, and I think that I value, or I've learned to value, what I can do versus who I am. And I think that I lack compassion for myself sometimes because I always push myself to just do,
mm-hmm.
but I never be. So it gave me a moment to almost hug myself to say, you know, you're still that kid. Like, regardless of how far you've gone or all the places you've seen or the growth you think you've had, you'll never escape yourself. So it was cathartic.
Which was further evidence of the benefit of writing yourself a love poem, thinking of your heart. You know, some people talk about the inner child. The inner child is that heart within you, and it gets excited. Because didn't you find after you wrote that then there was more that wanted to come out, more that you might have been choking or pushing down that just began to flow?
I think it's hard to look at yourself sometimes, to really, really look at yourself to say, hey, sorry. Like, you've been through it, you know? I think the something that came in my mind is that, like, through all the stages, you keep seeing yourself as you are now, but then you forget who you were or, like, what you were or what you've overcome or all of the things that made you who you are. It's so easy to overcome, let all that go and try to, like, live in the current life, but it manifests itself, right? No matter what you try to push down, I think there was a poem that I heard once is that, like, you know, I tried to shove it all down, but it created a monster and it clawed itself out of me.
Wow.
So you cannot suppress it forever. Eventually, it implodes. Either somebody comes into your life and makes it explode, or you do it to yourself and you implode. But until you love bomb yourself instead of letting the narcissist do it, you risk a lot. So that's why I got to the point.
And just so you know, down the road, Adele and I have been talking about some things that we might be doing. Like, those of you that know, once a month we have an event called Poetry Pop-Up. And on the Poetry Pop-Up, poets get a short notice. It's not like weeks and weeks to plan something. There's a short notice that there is an opportunity to do a poem around a prompt. This past prompt we had for November was Thanksgiving, and people sign up digitally to come on, and they do a poem. And the thing that's different is each person, it runs as a round robin. So people that are on don't have to wait for one person to read 10 poems before they get to read. They read a poem, and then we get something that's called riff, because I hate it when I go to any type of poetry program and it's the idea of the poor person slamming what the previous
person
did.
Yeah, I don't like slamming. I like spoken word.
Yes. Well, you also will like pop up poetry.
Pop up and speak up.
Because we do respectful, interesting, inspiring, friendly feedback. Mm. So each person, like we have six, sometimes we've had 10 people, but after each person finishes, one or two of the other poets gives them some riff. And then we go on so that in the course of the hour, sometimes people get to do two, or each person at least gets to do one. And so we're working now on how to do some of the poetry pop-ups, not just digitally or Zoomingly, but at actual locations. We're working on an idea with the station that we are broadcasting from, CJSF.ca, 90.1 in Burnaby. We're working on having something special during Kwanzaa, having people, instead of every year, we usually have people repeat what the founder of Kwanzaa says as the meaning for the day. But this year, we're going to be inviting people to speak of what is inspired by them, what that particular day means. And something that CJSF enabled me to do 2 years ago. It was COVID, and so I didn't realize that after you had an opportunity to do a 25-minute showcase, that you could go out into the community and apply for grants, and you have a piece of work. So I have a piece of work that two pieces of work that was created. One was a 25-minute show that Adele did these costumes out of my
oh, that was so fun.
Out of my scars for. And I have another where I entered a poem called I Choose to Challenge, and the brilliant engineer, who's also a musician known as Jesse, created some music for it. But I haven't aired it. I aired it one time at the Cinematic. Adele, you know, you've come to almost everything I've done, but she attended. But we're going to have a screening, Nate, either Black History Month or Women's Month. We're going to have a screening.
Oh, yes, I did. I came to the screening, the one that happened in North End. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah.
You're showing up.
I got to speak up, show up, right?
Yeah, she's there. I mean, and it's not like weeks and weeks. Oh, you should have told me last week. She's like there. So
I can't leave my sister hanging. What do you mean? I'm always, if I can, I'll be there. And if I cannot, I'll be there in spirit.
But Adele has produced a film which we've watched. We might show that. But we are going to have a screening of these three short films that are social action oriented. And
I got you, girl, whatever you need.
And we got to say to the audience,
Come through.
We've got to be doing this for you. CJSF and the Salua Show airs every Friday morning at 10. The show means speak up. We speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. And you see, we are some act upon people. We don't say do it all like A, B, and C. There might be D, E, and F, where this person or group has been.
We're dyslexic. Got to jumble the letters, you know.
A move in another direction. I'd like for you to tell us a little bit more about the thing that you are doing with colors. Are there any workshops or anything down the road with
you? At this time, we're just doing some development. Honestly, right now, I'm swimming. I'm actually drowning in so much things. So I'm trying to learn to delegate. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to introduce more of the people who I know in the community that want to be active and engaged to try to like help bring all these ideas into action. So in the meantime, right now, I am collaborating with a director right now named Dan, who will be taking over some of that. In the meantime, I'm like in the midst of a lot of reading for some of the activist work that I'm doing. So I either need to find if anybody in the audience is cloning, make me another me.
Or could you make another one for Sister C?
Yeah, can you make a Sister C and a Jesse? You know what I mean? Because, rely on friends and collaborators. But I think that the most important thing is collaboration. And that means the coming together of all these different types of minds. Because without Jesse, we didn't have a show. Without Sister C's voice, we don't have anything to listen to, you know. So it's all about teamwork and collaboration. So my goal is just to keep uplifting those that I've been working with over the years, and to learn to swim a little bit more gracefully.
That leads, that's a connection to chapter 6.
Jesse's like,
I feel it. It's a constant struggle though, right? Just like letting go and trusting and just understanding that if you keep putting one foot in front of the other and doing the right things, that things all work out-ish.
But you know what I learned from swimming? When you get tired, just get on your back and float.
Good advice.
Right, so if you're not that strong of a swimmer, you just lay back and learn to swim from like lay. Okay, Sister C, what's next on the agenda?
Well, chapter 6 of Heart Balm, just for you, is for your courage as you release fear and turn a new page.
Ooh.
And for the most part, people don't think it takes courage to release fear.
Ooh. What it does.
Oh, yeah. There's a common notion that fear grips us. We freeze and then slowly get our limbs and thoughts circulating about what's to be next. We continually hear advertisements that suggest we have separate fears about different things, and they offer us remedies in bottles and rubs and potions that sometimes say if you were dizzy, it'll cause dizziness.
If you or anyone has been affected by blah, 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 you may be entitled to compensation.
anyhow, we are, interesting that I was writing about Dune then, because Dune is back out, and I was saying throughout his classic Dune series of science fiction, Frank Herbert weaves the mystical Bene Gesserit litany against fear. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total liberation. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I remain. On a personal level, I know I let fear creep into my life sometimes. It disrupts my sleep. Is that still happening? It has caused chest pain so severe I thought I was having a heart attack. I wrote this a few years ago. I must be revisiting that time.
Let's go.
In a small book, The Miracle of Mindfulness, Thich Nhat Hanh shares success stories and a few simple practices that can give movement and monumental relief from stress, fear, and anxiety. Chief among these practices are meditation and mindfulness. When I read his challenge to the wisely expressed value of multitasking, I felt I had to press pause on the internal argument saying, oh, you're good. You can do this. You can do 3 things at a time or 4 things at a time. But Han makes a convincing argument that multitasking generates fear about dropping the ball or missing something important. Mindfulness, on the other hand, encourages you to be present with whatever you are doing and grateful for the people or things that enable you to enjoy that. And so poetry is one mindfulness type of activity, and it does help. So I'm going to pass the book over to Queen Adele for this poem called Docked and Waiting.
All right, docked and waiting. It's all about patience. Let's go. There is a gift docked and waiting for you. Did you miss it? Did it slip past? Shimmering and precious, its twinkling sometimes draws tears. Valued eons behind ancestors' grasp. The sifting pan cannot hold it. Above and to the north of your sky, glowing above, something holds your image in its eye. You, it are the same stuff formed. Imagined distance has kindred you. Day and night, around the 24, it is there, disappearing, whether or not you stare. Open your eyes. Peer beyond the gaze. Open your heart. Feel its warming. Love beams. Walk. Knowing its force will not let you falter. Loose the sails, reel up the anchor, undo the ribbons, and royally savor the treasure. There is a gift docked, and it's waiting for you.
Do you believe that there's a gift for you somewhere?
Actually, I think so. So this is something that I've been thinking a lot about since writing that little poem to myself, where sometimes we don't think that there's more. And we just sort of settle to think that, okay, this feels so good. I don't think there could be better. But if you believe that there is something that's docked and waiting for you, you got to get off that sinking ship and find another port. You know, so that's sort of, yeah. And it's I don't know, it's a theme that I've really been exploring lately, of just sort of this, you know, love balming, which means sort of moisturizing the love you have for yourself, which I'm, this is what I'm taking from why you've named the book what it is. But I think we forget to see ourselves and the love we're seeking, right? And I think that we look so much forward, we don't look back. And the person who's at the back is you. So if we can only hold a mirror to ourselves, I think it would be easier to love bomb ourselves, but instead we let others do it. So how do we believe that there is another dock? I think I said this to someone, a friend of mine. I said, if your ship is sinking, I have a jetpack for one, and I got to go. If your ship is sinking, I'm going to get on a women and children first, and you are not a woman or child. I got to go. So I think that sometimes when we try to save other people, we forget to save ourselves. So I think that, like, I've been taking a lot of flights in the last couple of years, and they always say, put your own mask on first. Because otherwise, you're of no help to anybody, because you're just going to pass out from lack of air. So don't pass out. Don't pass out. Simply said.
Now, sometimes, have you ever written something, left it, a document in your computer, and you came back and said, who wrote this?
Yes.
Okay, this next poem is called Collard. Now, some of you all don't know about collard greens.
I was about to say, like, the greens?
Collard greens.
Oh, yeah.
Some people have made them into salads. Black people from the South, up through the United States, we ate collards as something that was boiled, and it might have had no meat in it. It might have had fat back in it. It might have had just seasonings
in it. Some chicken feet, too. Come on.
But so collards are pretty durable. You know, you have to cook them a long time, but they also do a lot of good in your body. They stay in. They are cleaners. They are wonderful. They are full of who knows what vitamins they are full of.
The right ones.
The ones that matter.
Great source of vitamin A, great source of vitamin D, things that help your bones. So for some reason, as I was developing this book of poems just around the verses of Just For You, there's a poem called Collard Tenacity. And so I'm going to ask Jesse, a person of great tenacity, to read about the collard tenacity.
Let's go!
Collard tenacity. Give me the tenacity of a crisp collard. Let my ebony richness magnify its verdant green. As I reach out my hand, give me tough veins, able to circulate life-giving nourishment to the generations yet as seedlings. With each year, let me lay down new roots, roots ready to supplement the meager fare of loveless harshness some societies secrete as they admonish others to be satisfied. Enable my leaves to secure safe harbor for the many remanded to sleep on the streets. Make me an agent of harvesting the best from our past. Give me the courage to motivate all to shoulder their part in laying a new garden of hope and happiness. But if our caviar and candlelight cousins, siblings, or neighbors refuse to set an extra plate while tossing garbage daily, let me regularly be ready to serve savory collards and cornbread, and never forget to till and plant for the next harvest.
Okay, that has sort of my activist thing that we do. What do you think about? What did that stir up in you, Jesse?
Well, I thought it was really interesting to have it calling back to, you know, looking back at your history, as Adele was just talking about not forgetting you know, who you were, and that whole journey. I also think, you can really, I mean, I really see you in that poem, mm-hmm. and your values and the way that you believe in and really value community and helping others, and being there to help others, while also, as Adele was saying, having to remember that you got to take care of yourself also, mm-hmm. right? You can't put everything of yourself into anything, unless maybe that's yourself that you're putting everything into.
You got to have a full cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of what motivated the poem, sometimes when I do readings, I've done readings at a maximum security boys' prison. I've done readings at a wedding of the pastors of two churches. I've done it on a cruise ship. I was invited to do a poetry workshop, but it came from when I first said yes to writing a poem for myself.
Mm.
Writing a poem to myself. There was an actress that was like a fairy godmother to me. Virginia Capers. Some would remember her on TV shows. But she was in the movie The Toy. She was the black woman that told the kid about how his father really was. She was also the choir director. I'm going to cry. So she brought about restoration of Harlem, the Harlem Renaissance in L.A., and had people put together shows. And at the time I was in L.A., I was healing from a head injury, and I couldn't remember things. But I was going to her workshops, and I wanted to be one of the people to do one of the historical Harlem Renaissance poems. And I said, well, can I do a poem? And I picked up the thing to read it. She said, you have to memorize two poems. The Harlem Renaissance poems sometimes went on for two or three pages. but I memorized the two poems.
Woo!
But what she said to me was, because first I said the word can't. She said, can't is an animal too lazy to try. So that's written in my soul. And so some of her teachings and words infused some of the poems that went into Heart Bomb. But it also led me to different places where I've taken this book and been able to unlock that write your first poem. And so Adele and I are looking at she's done some work with seniors. I've done some work with seniors.
We did it together. I did not do it on my own. You are my key to the seniors, lady.
Well, a doorway is opening where I'm doing this workshop called Write Your Heart More Love and Cheer. It is a workshop that can be done in an hour. Yesterday we had 35 seniors with half an hour who at the beginning, zero had written a poem, but the other through the activities we went was playing with the words in our name. Everybody, some people wrote a long poem, some people just wrote a few things, but every person, and just the experience, I'm encouraging you to do that for yourself, because there's something, the heart and brain connects, and the brain says, ah, she's thinking about you. And hands say, oh, give me a pen, maybe I'll capture some of what she's saying. But I've seen the process work with people, people who were celebrating and having a party on a boat, and people who were in recovery room working on a session. And so I just encourage you, from listening to this, sit down, open up your heart, and let some poems find out. Let some words fly out.
Thank you, Adele, for coming and joining us.
Thank you, Jesse, for having me. And Mrs. Charlotte, thank you always.
And letting you all know, you'll be hearing Adele Moore co-hosting, bringing forth these brilliant ideas she has.
I love it.
Okay, so our show comes on every Friday morning at 10, but when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Mm.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time.
time. Time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace.